All right, so now you have a very odd Gemara, okay? And after you go through the facts, guys, after you go through the facts, you'll see from a methodology standpoint, we have to look at this Gemara a little bit differently. Go ahead, Mati. All right, so what do you do? Good, okay, so you do this sort of like a strange ceremonious. It's weird every sukkah.
Okay,
go on.
So why is it weird if it's... What if Kevara Amar Yochanan? So Kevara Yochanan. Molochu maybe he did up and down. Limei Sharofet Shalom.
Okay, so what does that mean? He goes up and down.
So that...
To who has the winds. Okay? Yeah. Who controls the winds? Okay. Malu Morid. That's what it literally means. It means that. That's what, the heavens and the earth are? So who's that referring to? Okay, good. So the first sheet says when you're doing this ceremonious waving motion, right? You're doing it to who? You're doing it to God. And you're emphasizing two things, that God is in charge of the winds, and also in charge of the heaven and the earth, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I would say, I don't even know if Shemayim here means heavens. I think here it means the skies.
Yeah.
Okay? Go on. Where's Marava?
I guess
that's Eretz Yisrael. Good. I don't think it means that here. Masnu
Hachi. It teaches, here, Amar Rav Kama Bar Akva, Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Rabbi, Hanina.
Now I hope you guys do's, okay? What are the ruchos you're referring to? Not spirits, right? Stormy winds.
Literally.
Okay, so you got to remember now what this is referring to, the Kifsi Atzeres, right? During Shavuos time, right? Shavuos time is the lambs you brought. Hold on, guys. That's the on Shavuos they bring these two lambs, right? With the bread, the lamb bread thingy, right? So you wave it, right? So
that's the
thing
we've been talking about.
Yeah. So the Kifsi. So this is a very... So what's strange about this Gemara? Before we read the rest of the next piece, but what's strange? What's odd about this? Please don't tell me it makes sense. What's odd about this Gemara? Oh, Darius, what do you want to say? Yeah, what do you want to say?
All right, Shavuos time was the wheat harvest. And when you're harvesting wheat, you do not want it to rain at all. Or else you're screwed. And this happened in Shmuel.
So you're doing a good job. You're helping us out in one significant way, which is that let's put ourselves in an agricultural mindset. Part of this ceremony is... It is.
Yeah, this Gemara is historical context and philosophy.
Yeah.
Great.
Let's understand. No. It's like this. What I mean is that in order to appreciate the Gemara, you have to understand, like what Darius is saying, you have to understand that why don't you want bad dew and these difficult winds, because it will be problematic agriculturally. That's not a huge contextual.
No.
So now you have two funny things in the Gemara. First of all, okay, great. So now let's assume Darius is right. Okay, but now what do we do? Right? What do we do with this Gemara? Like does this make sense? But I think the better question is, what? What's the better question to ask? Okay, fine. Okay, good. All right, okay. Good. So, Kalev's questioning the mechanism, because it can't mean, it'd be very difficult to imagine.
No, you're not doing that.
It'd be difficult to imagine that waving, right, actually makes the rain go away. Right? Okay, good. All right, so, good. Hold on, we'll get to the answer. So, one question is, what is this idea of waving doing? And the second question is, what kind of machlokas is this? How do you have an argument between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael? One side says that you're doing it to God is owner, so to speak, of the winds and the heavens and whatever, the sky and the ground. And the other side says, no, it's to ward off these bad things. Okay, what kind of machlokas is that? Very strange machlokas. I want to know what the debate is. Oh, hold on. Yeah. We'll just finish the Gemara. Okay. One second, Oven.
Oven. Zos Omeret, this is saying Sheri Mitzvot Akvin et Harporniot.
Deha.
Deha Tnufa. So he's saying that.
No, Deha Tnufa Shari Mitzvah here.
Shari Mitzvah here.
Wonderful. See, I don't know if you guys realize this, without, again, defining anything. The Gemara is saving us. This statement saves us. Because what is it saying? What's it saying? Saying like this. It's saying that it's... Tanufa is what? We spent the past week discussing the halachic contract of Tanufa. But turns out all along, Tanufa is Shayari Mitzvah. What does Shayari Mitzvah mean? Right, it's like
it
lingers. It's not the akev, right? It lingers. It's like almost insignificant part of the overall mitzvah, right? What? Right, exactly. Very good. A garnish, right? Like a garnish. So on whatever the mitzvah is, you have to bring the lambs and bread. The actual waving is like a garnish. That's very good. It's like not necessary, but you do it. So it's like this guy saying, what is he saying? He's saying that don't is almost as if to say, even though tznufa is really not such an important thing, look what it can do. It can, without defining it, ward off the the evil stuff. So why do you say this? It was very creative what you said, but I'll show you why I disagree. So when the Gemara comes along and says Shari Mitzvah by tznufa, I think what he's doing there is he's trying to create a certain he's trying to establish like a certain justification for why the Gemara goes ahead through this whole business of telling us that you have to wave it around to ward things off or to whatever, to pray to God, whatever it is, right? Because if I told you there's something, see, Darius says something funny before. Darius is like, well, what do you mean? It's part of the Korban, right? But when you know something's not Ma'akev, it's very common. How does a person relate to it if it's not Ma'akev? Unimportant, right? Okay. So it's almost like Chazal is saying that take something that's unimportant, right? But even though it's unimportant in a halachic sense, right, doesn't mean it doesn't have any... In other words, it's a funny thing. You can have something in halacha where halachically it's not important, right, in the classic sense. But philosophically, right, there's still some benefit to it. Because what a person would say is, what's the benefit of tenufa then if it's not makiv? Okay? In other words, a person would look at the process of tenufa and in an inferior way because of its halachic role. So I maintain that Rav Yossi is coming along and qualifying what before defining the argument. He's trying to qualify the argument by saying, you know why they're having this issue? Why they're focused on this weirdo things happening when you wave around? To show you that even though halakhically this thing isn't that important, but philosophically there's some major important objective that's achieved through doing this. Now the question is, what's the debate then? But do you understand that first step? That's the step I'm taking. My step is that Shari Mitzvah is telling you halachically. That's why the Gemara uses the terminology Shari Mitzvah.
And that's why we're arguing.
Right? It shouldn't. One second. It shouldn't be. What it could have said was it could have said Einu Ma'akev. But Shari Mitzvah doesn't just mean it's Einu Ma'akev. It has a certain connotation. It's like Shirayim are like the leftovers. Shari Mitzvah is like, it's like that's how a person will look at it. It's not that important because it's not Ma'akev. Okay? So the Gemara's response, so what he's trying to create a construct, he's trying to create a framework, tell you, listen, you should know, even though this thing halakhically is not important, but there is some nice philosophical thing that comes out of it, okay?
If it's philosophically...
What Kanarik said at the end, I don't care who was growing what, but he was writing in one categorization. I just think you could take it further. Kanarik was saying that you do see one significant difference between each one. One of them is a praise, and the other one is a bakasha, a request. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what you were getting at, right? Now, you could be right that in Israel there's more of a need for it, but you do notice in the language, one is saying God is great. The other one is saying we need this, right? One is an acknowledgement of shevach, a praise, right? God is the owner. The other one is we need something, okay? That could be because of different environments, right? But you could go even further because you don't have – I could stop there, by the way. I could say you were right and say, you know what? Sharia mitzvah, but don't think these things aren't important. They are important, right? And it's an opportunity either to give praise to God, right, or to request from Him something that we need. You could say that, okay? But I think you can go one step further, because what's the difference? And I don't know what you meant by effect on the gavra, but you could say this. You could say that.
You know exactly what
the emphasis is. There's yotze or God, and then there's hashgacha God, meaning rucho, meaning God. God's dominion over Shemayim and Aretz and Ruchos is recognizing God as creator. You recognize that my control is limited. Whereas the idea of warding off the Ruchos is an idea of Ashkacha, that God intervenes and is involved or invested in mankind, right? So I would argue, taking Kanarek's point to the next step, that if it's true in Israel, there was more of a need for it. So it's important when this Tanufa takes place that people have a state of mind of dependency. So dependency is an idea that God intervenes. Whereas in Bavel, assuming that's, I don't know if it's true or not, but in Bavel, where you're giving praise, that's just an idea of recognizing God as creator. But either way you go, I think the reason why the Gemara stops and gives us a philosophical objective is to show you that even though Tznufa halachically is not quote unquote important, right, from the average person's perspective, nonetheless, it does play a very important role in the process of Korban. Okay?
But is that it?
Okay, we'll just read it quickly, okay? Amar Rabba v'chein Lulav, okay? Lulav's the same thing. Okay, Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So he did what? He did this Tanufa motion. He waved it, okay? Umach v'hachi. The Sitna. What does that mean? What? Well, it's like he said, like, it's as if he's, right, if he's poking the eye of, what do you call it? So I guess it's because, I mean, if you think about it, the lulav is very sharp, right? Yeah. Right? It's very pokey.
So poked by many a lulav.
Right, exactly, right. So if you're gonna poke the satan, you're gonna use a lulav for that, right?
Yeah,
right. Tana Rabbanan. All right, Sanaf Beis Damad Aleph. Let's hear what the Gemara has to say. To Unin. Okay, stop. La'achar Shchita. So, okay, good. So now, what are the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur? What are those?
What are the
Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur?
No.
Come on. Literally means the korbanos of Shlamim of Tzibur. There's one example we're looking for. You know which one? The Kifsi Atzara. So when you bring the lambs, right? The lambs. Okay. You must do a tnufa on them after Shlita, okay? Which would imply what?
After Shlita.
But we also know what?
You do one before.
Okay, good. So keep going. So meaning that there's another tnufa you have to do. There's a tnufa prior to the shechting them and one afterwards.
The tnufa on kimo chahein.
What does that mean?
And the waving is like them, is done on them.
What? Shehain what? Kimo shehain. What is shehain referring to? No.
The previous
the tenufa that you did before. Okay, so there's no difference between the tenufa when they're alive and tenufa afterwards.
Oh,
you did? Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
I said the entrails, referring to they're now dead.
No, they're not dead yet. They weren't dead.
No. I'm saying there's you do it.
They weren't dead before.
Yeah, they weren't dead before.
But now they're
dead. Yeah, but the act of tenufa is the same. The tenufa is the same. It's the same process in tenufa. Whereas the chacham say no. Okay, so what's the machlokas? Machlokas is when you do tznufa after you shech them. There's two possibilities. Do you do tznufa on the whole animal after shechita? So again, the process would be you bring the lambs are in the base of mikdash. The kohen does tznufa on the lambs, right? Does tznufa on the lambs when they're alive, shechted, another tznufa. That's one possibility. Or no. Tznufa on the lambs when they're alive, shech them, go through all the process of whatever, da da da, take out the chazei shok, and then do tznufa on those. Okay? This is not like such a complex machlokas. Right? And yet. Okay. I thought you were going to try and answer it. Sorry. Okay. All right. Is that clear? Does everyone understand that? Before we go into get into the difficult part here, the machlokas is there are two tznufas done. Okay, one is done when they're alive, one is done when they're dead, and the argument is, on the tznufa when they're dead, do you do tznufa on dead lambs when they're whole, or no, you do machazein shok. Now, before we even look at the Gemara, you're allowed not to define or speculate at all. But you do see, if it's chazay and shok, what does that imply? What's it like? Exactly. Exactly. Because on a regular korban shlomim that you do tzidufa on, what do you do tzidufa with? The chazay and shok. So, and Darius, what would the other way to go? Because if you say it's shlomim, what are you saying? If you're doing it on the shlomim, meaning that you don't do chazay and shok, rather you do when the animals are whole, what would you be saying? No, you killed it already. But I'm saying the first side says, you do, I wouldn't say that.
It's shlomim plus.
Oh, okay, good. All right, so, okay. In other words, without getting to what the Gemara is about to say, right? You could already start thinking to yourself, you should methodologically think to yourself as follows. Huh, that's interesting. I chazay and shok, that's very familiar, right? That's what you do by a shlomim. So it would sound like that the second tenufa means that the korban now is treated like your general old korban shlomim. Like any other shlomim. And what would you do? A tenufa on the chazay and shok.
Except that it says that it should be like the first one.
Hold. You read the Gemara.
No, that's one side.
Oh, why?
The chachamim. Rebbe would say, no, Rebbe would say that the tenufa you're doing on this on the kifsei atzeres, it's still considered what after you shecht it. Kifsei atzeres.
Sure.
It doesn't revert back to shlomim. I'll show you what I mean. Okay, take a korban pesach. All right, or actually a better one, the avodah on Yom Kippur. Okay, there's a famous tension about the avodah on Yom Kippur. The avodah on Yom Kippur was done by the Kohen Gadol. Right? Is there any what he did in Yom Kippur is never done again throughout the year. Right? So there's two ways you could look at the avodah of Yom Kippur. Is it avoda with like a modified version of regular avoda, or it's so different that it takes upon itself its own unique chaloshim, own unique identity. Similar here, the tenufa you're doing on these animals afterwards, is it that after I shecht it, it goes back to being a regular korban shlamim, or do I say no, there's still an existence of lambs, and that's true, that means that this thing's a different type of korban. Okay? Okay, that's the ammunition you need to understand the next part. So, Mati, what does that mean? What does that mean? What are they arguing about? B'mai, kam b'flugi. What are they arguing about?
Amar le, karkiso le rav hamuna. Amri la, rav hamuna le rav chista. Vidon mina uina. Vidon mina,
okay, so bidun mina umina, okay, bidun mina veoke ba'asre. That's what they're arguing about. Do you know what those words mean? Not so much. What does that mean? What? Okay, 1 second. It means that if bidun mina umina is referring to, can we learn from A to B? Okay, learning from A to B. Now, what is that referring to? Rashi? What? But what's that referring to? He's got it. Right, look at Rashi. Is it Rashi?
No.
Oh, all right. So what does it mean? Sorry.
Look at the Masifta.
Here, Mati, I'll help you out here. The Masifta says as follows. It's like this. The Machlokas is, how do we learn, can we extrapolate from A to B? So what's that referring to? So Rabbanan Savrei Dun Mino Mino. I forgot to give you guys a Masifta. Right? Rabbanan Savrei Dun Mino Mino. What does that mean? So the Chachamim hold what? They say Chazei Shok, right? If they say Chazei Shok, so where are they learning to do for from? What? Well, no. So again, they learn the Din Tnufa from where? So both the Klal and what? And the specifics. So whatever applies to the Shlomim, right, will apply to the lambs post shechita. So if over there, what happened? There were tenufa, and it was done with what? The chazayin shok. So to here, tenufa chazayin shok. I'm gonna put it on the board, by the way, because this is a lot to follow. Okay, you understand that?
Wait, what kind of tenufa was it before?
You remember you're holding up the bread and the lambs.
Yeah, is that shlomim?
Oh no! Right. Yeah, but it's not a shlomim. It's a kifsei atzeres.
Oh, that's
the
same.
It's not shechted yet. Okay, that's the part of the issue here. In other words, well, close. You're almost there. I'm going to write it up. We're almost there. What does the other side say? So, ma zivche shama yachin.
Wait, what is the other one?
I'll show you. Good. Okay, umina.
Umina.
Ah, fachanami, chaze v'shok. Okay, so it means like this. It means. So which means ma zivchei shama yachid. But the oki ba'asra. Right. Okay. This is very problematic. Okay. Rebbe says what? Rebbe says. Okay. This again. Keep this here. This is according to the first way of learning. By the way, there's two more. Rebbe says as follows. Shama yachid. Right. You learn out. Well, no, he doesn't say that. You learn out communal shlamim. Right, you do learn out from shlamim yachid to communal shlamim. There's only one problem, though. Meaning again, when we say, what's that? To be clear, when we say we learn from individual to communal, we're talking about tanufa. So just like this tanufa here, right? This tanufa here. Okay, so we'll call it tough. Right, just like this tanufa here. There's tanufa here. Sounds like so far it's very good, but we do not learn out. Chazei Shok, so therefore, Shleiman. Cool. Okay. Again, one side says, just get this clear. Okay, I'm not here to define anything yet. I just want to make sure the facts are clear. First guy says individual Shlamim Tnufa, communal Shlamim Tnufa. If I'm going to learn the category Dun Mina, I'm going to learn the specifics also, right? So if this tenufa of individual shlamim has chazein shok, same thing will apply by the communal. That's simple. He's saying no. We do learn the tenufa of communal from tenufa of yachid. Okay. Here's the problem. But we don't go as far as to learn how the tenufa is done. So for some reason, Rebbe wants the best of both worlds. He wants to say we learn the chi of tenufa from shama yachid, the obligation of tenufa from here. But insofar as how to do the maisa tenufa, or whatever the chatz, whatever you want to say. Is completely different. Okay? So the question, what question would you have to ask at this point methodologically? Look at the two opinions you have in front of you, right? The Chachamim say individual tufa, communal tufa, chazei shok, versus individual tufa, communal tufa, chazei shok, whole animal for shleimim.
Why doesn't Rebbe
question? Exactly. That's the question. I mean, the question is. What do you mean?
One second.
That's also a great question. You jumped a little bit there. Can I ask questions? The easy question. No offense. The easy question is. It is an easy question. Why would Rebbe even learn this way? This is not a good way to learn. This is a good way to learn. Nice and easy, right? If you're going to learn from A to B,
Rebbe's way is just unnecessary.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you, Dardik. Rebbe's way is unnecessary. This makes things more complicated. But Oren's going further. Oren's saying, that doesn't mean, just because he doesn't want to learn Chazei Shog, that's very nice. But why does that teach you then that the animals are whole? Meaning that you do a complete, you can't answer that yet. You're doing a complete tenufa. Hold on.
That's an idea. So
okay. Blue, yeah. What does Rapapa say? Dun mino minohu. Right, so Rapapa says, no. Rapapa says, what are you going to have to say? Right, Rapapa says, no. We always learn this way, okay? So we always learn, both Chachamim plus Rebbe agree with this. But that's not true, because Rebbe holds, what do you do? You have to hold, what do you call it? You do tenufa on the entire animal. How can he hold that? So what does the Gemara say? Time and Rebbe. Beautiful. So why does Rebbe say you tenufa on the entire animal? So again, this is why you're going to have to give a svar here. Because he's saying like this. Rebbe's saying, but since this is a matana to the Kohen, in other words, here, he's saying like this. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Present for Kohen, okay? Present for Kohen. Okay, so remember something.
when you're eating, let's say the chazen shuk, okay? So that's consumed, okay? Okay. We'll call it matnos kahuna, presents for the kohen.
So he's saying it's like this. We, of course, everything we learn from here applies to here. There's only one problem, though, okay, that Rebbe's saying. Rebbe's saying that, well, by the chazen shuk, that's the matana for the kohen. But here, right, by the kifsei atzeres, the entire animal goes to the kohen. So when you do the tenuf after shchita, you're always doing the tenuf after shchita for what purpose? What are you doing it on? That which is matana for kohen. So Rebbe's very consistent. Rebbe says, well, here's the thing. Here, in the case of kifsei atzeres, the matana la kohen isn't just the chazen shuk, it's the entire animal. So what do you have to do tenufa on? The entire animal. But of course, then that will raise, what question will that have to raise then?
Then how do you understand?
Exactly. So then they make no sense. Right? That sounds like a very compelling theory. That what do? You always do tenufa on that which will be awarded to the kohen. Okay, well, when it comes to shama yafe, that's this. When it comes to the kifsei atzeres, it's the entire animal. Right?
So we just have having a semen.
No, but the chum disagree with that.
Exactly. That's what that matches up with Rebbe.
What?
That idea matches up with Rebbe.
No, that is Rebbe.
Yeah, he says that.
The Chachamim say no.
Right.
How can they say no?
Oh, then it's okay. Just like...
Right.
Is that just like an accent?
Right. One more sheet to Ravina. Ravina. Ravina Amar. Okay. No, so one second. So now position number three is this. Position three now is underneath Rebbe's camp. Now we don't learn... We learn the Mechayiv of Tufa for communal shaman from Shama Yachid, but not the details. Wait. Of course, then the question is, then why would the Chachamim say you would ever do it only in the Chazen Shok?
Do we know it's an axiom that you have to do Chazen Shok for
Yachid? Yes. It's in a Gemara, it's in a different Gemara, but yes, that's an axiom. Okay? So what does he say? Well, in this context, it's an axiom. It's not a real axiom, in this context it is. We'll say it again, the high time in Rabbanim, why? The Ushal Mehem. What does that mean? Ribuyahu. What's a ribuy? What? Yeah, well, okay, that's right. But what is he learning here? Rashi. Shal Mehem. Bishal Meyachik Siv. Yeah, you do. It's like halfway down the Rashi's. Shalmehem, Bisham Yachik Siv.
Ed Chaza Tinufa, Ed Shuk Ahatruma, Vilakhti Meat Ne Israel, Mizivche.
Interesting. So God says, right? God says as follows, the Chaze from the Tnufa, right, and the Shok from the Truma, but the key word is you did Tnufa and on the Chaze and Shok, right? Lakachti meis bnei Yisrael, I took from the Jewish people, right, mizivchei shalmehem, from their mashma loshon rabim, more than one shlamim. Shalmehem means multiple shlamim, multiple korbanos shlamim. Okay? So he says, v'havalei the mechtav loshon yachid, the biyachid mishtai, he should have said mizivchei shlamim, but it says shalmehem. So, udechsev loshon rabim, lomor achazev eshok, so shalme tzibur sheyunafu. So he says, no, that the same way it says in the Pasuk, that don't read the Pasuk to say, Chazei Shok by Shalmei Yachid only. Shalmei Hem means every Shlamim now will always get what? A Tanufa of Chazei and Shok. Doesn't matter if it's Shalmei Yachid or Shalmei Tibor. It says Shalmei Hem. Shalmei Hem means more than one type of Shlamim. The only other type of Shlamim that exists is Tibor Shlamim. If that's true, both of them get Tanufa on Chazei and Shok. So now... Now the arrow turns back to who now is a problem? Rebbe. What's Rebbe going to do with that? You see, this is...